Welcome to Chaos Theory Tales Askew. Horror. Science fiction.
Terror.
Suspense.
Action. Adventure. You can find the horror in just space at Chaos Theory Tales Askew.
This is part two of Holly Dias's Be Careful What You Wish For, as presented by the Chaotic Centurion.
Molly crossed her hands over her breasts and lowered her head to her knees as she wept. Frank put a reassuring hand on her shoulders and pulled her toward him, cradling her in his massive arms. Sarah's mouth hung open in sympathy. David had never expressed a preference for a breast or bottle, and she'd managed the last 2 months using both. She wondered for a second about Frank and Molly's son. What if he was hungry somewhere, crying for his mother? Would his caretaker feed him? Did he have a caretaker? Did David? She started for the truck and David's diaper bag, but Farley's wife stopped her. Here, she said, holding up a 4-ounce bottle. I've got one ready. Sarah sniffed. Tears streaked down her cheeks as she reached for the bottle. Frank took the bottle from her and offered it to the little girl in his arms, who, in Sarah's guesstimate, was only a month or so older than David. The infant took to the bottle with hungry abandon, gulping down the formula with gusto. Sarah was wrong. He did look at home cradling a baby. After a few minutes of silence, Frank gave a half-hearted laugh. "I feel like a traitor feeding someone else's child," he said. "Is that stupid?" She didn't have a chance to answer. One of the Vernon County cops approached, his handsome face painted with confusion. He barked into the radio, and a staticky voice confirmed something Sarah didn't catch. The officer paused before them and crouched face to face with the sitting couples at eye level, a measure Sarah found gracious. "I'm really sorry about the wait, folks," he said, "but there's something odd going on, and I'm not really sure what to make of it. No one is." He cracked his knuckles one by one as he spoke. "You see, at the end mark across town, three other couples have had their children switched on them." Five gasps interrupted his explanation, and he paused. Farley's nasal voice broke the quiet. "So, what are you doing about this mess other than blabbing back and forth into your little radios?" Frank's face told Sarah that if he hadn't been cradling a small child, Farley would have regretted his rudeness. Molly patted his arm till the sour look on his face passed. The officer gave Farley a patient look he didn't deserve. "I assure you, sir, we're doing all we can." He stood. "I'll keep you posted," he said, and walked to where his fellow officers were deliberating a course of action. "All right," Farley spat, "doing all they can. That's why they're hanging out near the donuts and coffee." This time Sarah had to restrain herself as if she feared Farley's insult would somehow tempt fate into impeding the officer's progress. The baby finished her bottle, and Frank pulled a blanket from the diaper bag at his side, putting it over his shoulder easily before placing the baby there to burp her. As he gently but firmly patted her back, he muttered, "To think I'd wanted a girl." Sarah blinked. "What do you mean?" she asked. Molly met her eyes and answered for him. "We've been hoping for a girl. I mean, I know now that it doesn't matter what God gives you, but we'd wanted a girl from the start. I was disappointed to find we'd been given a boy, but once I saw Eric's little face..." "Me too," Farley's wife said with a nod. "I even cried when I found out Wallace was going to be a boy. I know that sounds awful, but I'd had my heart set on raising a girl." "And no wonder with a father figure like that," Sarah thought. An idea came to her mind and her jaw dropped open. "No," she thought, "it couldn't be. That's ridiculous." But she'd hoped for a girl, too. "You mean all of us hoped for a girl and..." She said the words barely above a whisper, but they all heard her. Could it be possible? Could fate or God or whatever powers controlled the universe be responding to their wishes with a belated response? Or maybe it was the universe's way of letting them know that they hadn't known what was best after all. Sarah's mind spun with the possibility. Molly and Farley's wife appeared ready to make the cosmic jump into the unexplainable with her, and Frank appeared to consider the possibility, but Farley scoffed. "Don't be stupid," he said. "That's impossible. It'd take an entire team of folks too twisted for their own good with too much time on their hands to pull off a sick prank like that. And how would they know who to pull the switch on? You must be out of your mind. He guffawed under his breath and glared at his wife, who was rocking the carrier at her side. She stopped, a guilty expression on her face. He's right, Ferris thought. I must be crazy. There's no way. Nevertheless, she found herself asking Molly and Frank if they would watch her carrier and its cargo. She watched as if from outside herself as she approached the officer who'd been so kind to them earlier. She felt a twinge of guilt that it had taken her this long to approach him, to tell him that she, too, was the victim of a baby swap. She patted the young officer on his shoulder, and he jumped as he turned, as if interrupted from deep thought. Sarah waggled her fingers in a friendly gesture and tried to appear as uncrazy as possible. "Hello, Officer Gustafson," he offered. "Officer Gustafson," she said. "I'm Sarah Edwards, and my child has been, swapped, too. I think you've already guessed that." I have an idea. It may sound a little crazy." "Shoot, I'm willing to try anything right now," he admitted. "I didn't want to say anything, but we're kind of at a loss here. We don't have a vehicle to chase. There were no witnesses, and all the parents can't seem to recall where they left their children alone long enough to be kidnapped." Sarah's face fell, and Gustafson put a consoling hand on her shoulder. "Oh, sorry, ma'am," he said. "I don't mean... That's just it. I didn't... Oh, forget it," she said. "Get on your radio and ask an officer at Enmark if one of the little boys is wearing a green Converse jumper." "How did you know they were little boys?" "Just do it," Sarah barked. Gustafson jumped again, but reached for his radio. "Brennan," he said. They waited. "Go ahead, Gus," a voice replied. "Brennan, do me a favor. Tell me if one of those kids is wearing a green Converse jumper." "Ah, sure," Brennan said. There was a pregnant pause as Officer Brennan checked to see if Sarah's intuition was correct. Sarah and Gustafson stood side by side, uncomfortable but hopeful. "Please, God," Sarah begged. "Please let me be right. I'm so sorry that I ever doubted that you would give me a child I could love, no matter what the gender. I'm sorry I thought I could ever know better than you. Please, God, please."
"Ah, that's affirmative, Gus,"
Officer Brennan said.
"Dark green Converse jumper here. How'd you know?"
Sarah's hands flew to her face and covered her mouth as tears of relief flowed from her eyes. She breathed in deeply, a breath of air that felt fresher than any she'd ever taken since discovered that David had gone missing. She knew that the baby was David. It had to be David. There was no other explanation. As inexplicable as it was, there was no other explanation. "I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't wanted a baby at all," she wondered, and shuddered at the thought.
"What do you want to do?" Officer Gustafson asked.
"I'll go get him," Sarah replied. "I think there's been some mistake."
"Mistake?"
Officer Gustafson said. He shook his head in disbelief.
"Craziest mistake I've ever heard. What about them?"
he asked, motioning to the other couples on the curb.
"I think it'll be the same," she said, "but better ask just in case."
They walked side by side to the curb so Sarah could retrieve David's carrier and its visitor. Sarah watched over her shoulder as she walked back to her truck, as Frank and Molly gave their descriptions. She saw Officer Gustafson ascertain with Officer Brennan that their baby, too, was at Enmark. Gustafson was approaching Farley and his wife as Sarah climbed into her truck. Her hand was on the door handle, ready to pull it shut, when a Honda Prelude yanked into the parking lot and screeched to a halt. A disheveled young woman jumped from the driver's seat. Her brown hair looked as if it had been yanked into place with nervous hands. The sleeve of her tank top fell off over one shoulder, but she didn't bother pulling it back into place.
"My baby!" she screamed. "My baby is gone!"
If you enjoyed this story, you may find more at Chaos Theory Tales Askew, located at www.genspace.com, spelled GENSPACE.com. Just click the top eyeball. You'll know what I mean.